Hello, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag New Teacher Journey. I had the opportunity to record with the Unprofessional Development Podcast. The two hosts of that podcast are Mealy and Tudisco, and according to their Twitter, it is a fun professional education podcast, real teachers, real stories, and it's real funny. Their Twitter handle is @unprocast. They are amazing educators. And I really enjoyed recording this episode because they just had so much insight, so much advice, and they also brought a lot of their personality into this episode, so I'm super excited to share this out. Thank you so much for the support, and have an amazing rest of your weekend and an amazing week ahead. Please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Tudisco, you want to go first?
Sure. Hi, I'm Tudisco. Right now I'm teaching 7th grade English, but I've taught 7th through 12th grade. And this is my, oh goodness, I don't even know, 8th year teaching?
Maybe? I'm not counting for you, I'm counting for me.
Okay. We're gonna go with 8?
Sounds good, no one's checking this.
All right, good.
Is that it? That's all they're gonna tell about you? Please tell us your.
I'm a Libra.
I was
I don't
gonna
know.
Say.
What else?
And I'm Mealy. By the way, you hear two of us. I'm his. I guess we're co-hosts. Yes, we host. We host the
unprofessional. Kind of way.
We do host in a co kind of way. The Unprofessional Development Podcast. So we're podcasters as well, and I'm Mealy. I teach math. I've been doing it 10 years. I teach high school. I've taught like 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. And I guess, you know, other fun fact is that I failed out of college the first time. And then I got my life together and went back and became a teacher at 40 years old. So there's that.
In education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you've had in education.
Good days I've had.
The day you met me, obviously.
Absolutely. No, that's number two.
Okay.
Number one being the day I tasted the McRib. No, I think my number one, I don't think I have any specifics. I mean, it's the feedback you get from the kids. I mean, that's why you're there. So I think if I'm reflecting, like, my best days in education, it's the days the kids are the most excited. So, like, I ran drama club, and, like, after a show, and they were all so excited and really pumped and really proud of themselves. Or after they've completed a project and they feel like they've done a really great job. Those are always going to be the best.
Yeah. And I'll say, I guess, I really like the aha days, and so when a kid like really gets it, I can still remember, you know, and this goes all the way back to my student teaching. It was the first time that I really had that feeling, and I explained a math problem to her. She didn't get it, so I explained it a little slower and then tried to ask her, what do you think we should do next? And then she kind of guessed mostly wrong and a little bit right. And then, you know, we did it again, and each time I kind of, like, gave her a little less help, and she did a little bit more. And then, so the last one, she kind of almost did almost completely by herself, except I was asking her questions. What should you do next? And then she's like, well, can I do another one? And so I just put another one up on the board, and she did it, like, all by herself. And then she just started screaming, like, I get it, I get it. And she was, like, high-fiving me, and she was just, like, super excited. And so that, to me, is when those kids that feel that they can't do something get that feeling that all of a sudden that they can, and then they get that self-confidence, and you kind of, like, build on that, okay, you actually can do stuff, you know what I mean, and try and use that as a foundation for, you know, you thought you weren't good at this subject, or you thought you weren't good at school, and now we can kind of build on that, and you can see, we can always call back to that day when you couldn't do it at first, and now you could, and just kind of, you know, go there. So those are always the good days when there's a kid that has that breakthrough.
I remember, I forget what episode of our podcast it was, you compared it to, like, mobile games.
Yes. Yes.
Like at the beginning, you just wind up winning all the time and getting lots of accolades.
Yes.
And that kind of helps you through the tougher moments as the game gets harder and harder.
Yes, one of the teaching styles I've learned is that if you can make it like a video game, make level one really, really easy, because we have all played video games where we got through level one and like, ooh, I'm on level two. And then when level two is challenging, now you're like, well, I got to get to level three because I've already got through level one. If level one's too hard, it's really easy to like throw the game out and go, I'm not even going to try this anymore. But if you can get that buy-in, yes, yeah.
I really like that analogy of it being compared to a video game, and I totally kind of resonate with students, you know, being excited to learn, because I had a student yesterday who I was tutoring after school, and he was so excited about understanding the problems, and then he kept wanting to learn. So he's like, can I come again? And, you know, and it was just one of those things where he was struggling with work completion because we're remote, and all of a sudden he had that light bulb go off that, you know, he can do it, he just has to apply himself, so it's cool for me to see.
Yeah, yeah, it is exciting.
Likewise, what are some things you've experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
Ooh. Difficult at the time, and I learned
from... I've got one if you don't have one to disco.
I got a ton. It's a matter of picking the okay. right one. You go ahead.
Okay, well, this was like one of my favorite stories. It was like bad turned good, I guess. I was floating into another teacher's room. So whenever I would come into the room, their room was set up, you know, in a way that I ended up liking, but in the beginning I kind of had to get used to. And so they had all the kids in, like, the desk put together in little groups of two or three all over the place. And that was fine for when we were doing, you know, instruction and learning and whatever else we were doing. But then we needed to do a test, and I wanted them all separate. And so I say to the kids, hey, thinking that this is just an easy thing, these are like honors level 10th grade kids that have been in a million classrooms that have been in like the traditional rows at this point, you know? And I said, all I need you guys to do is I need you guys to separate the desks, and I need you to put them in rows. And they followed through with the separating it, but it was as if like a blind drunk guy had rearranged the desks in the room, just making sure that you could like put a hand in between each desk. They were just completely all higgledy piggledy, and I'm like
higgledy piggledy.
Yes. So I literally had to go, okay, I'm gonna take this desk, and this is gonna be the first one in this row for you. These people line up behind this one. Here's the second, you know, column. Line up behind this, and just kind of like separated the front row of desks and said, make them line up behind this. So it was so frustrating to me that they couldn't quite get it. So fast forward like 4 years later, I'm floating again, and I'm in a different teacher's room who has their room very similar to that, and I tell the kids this story that happened. And I go, it was completely insane. And they go, Mr. Mealy, they were just dumb. We can do that. I said, you're sure I don't need to like put a desk at each front? I could put one and we can all line up behind. They're like, Mr. Mealy, it doesn't take all that. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to turn around. You've got 60 seconds to get them in columns. Literally in 45 seconds, they said, turn around, Mr. Mealy, we're done. And they were perfect.
Nice.
And the biggest thing I learned from that is, A, you have to be something to be like explicit with instructions you give. But B, a lot of people don't like to be told that they can't do something.
And people like a challenge. People like
people do like that. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't fit that in that hole. What are you going to do? You're going to jam that thing in that hole and try and fit it in there. You can't throw that over the roof. Oh, I'm going to. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's going.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to figure out a way to get over the roof. So that was like kind of like a bad experience that ended up becoming a good experience. Hopefully that. Do I qualify? Do I have to do it again?
I'd say for mine, I mean, it's any time I've had, you know, challenging students, and you're always going to have challenging students because, I mean, we're just, they're teenagers and we're the authority figures. So that's just a lion and gazelle trying to be friends. That doesn't get along well at all. So a lot of times they're going to challenge you. They're going to push against you. And if you can just get them to acknowledge the fact that you're human, and you get them on your side, it makes a world of difference. I think that the best advice I ever, I learned was, I had a boy who's always acting up and wanted to be the center of attention. And so I got on his side. I said, you know, I think you're really, really funny. And, you know, the kids really look up to you. So, you know, whatever you do, they're going to follow. So if I get you on my side, then we're going to, everything's going to be good. And so I gave him opportunities. So like when we went to an assembly, I was like, look, everyone's going to follow your lead. So you got to make sure that you're well behaved, because they're all going to follow in line with you. And they did. And he did. Like, he was great. And he was showing off, and he was being a model student. He was feeling proud of himself, and everybody else in my classroom was behaving better too. So.
That's impressive, because I'm worried I get the kid to go, I don't care what those other kids think, or you, Mr. Tedisco, you big stoopy face. I'm going to, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
do likable. Whatever.
I guess you are. Oh.
I'm charming.
Yes.
I tell people all the time.
That's true.
What is one piece of advice you would like to give any new teachers?
Okay, you go first, Tedisco.
Run. Run away. You gotta love teaching. Don't ever forget you're there for the students, because nothing else matters. They're not going to remember the nonsense you teach them. What you teach them really doesn't matter. Teach them to think, and show them that you care. And that's what makes the difference. People, if kids could work for grades, they wouldn't need teachers.
There you go.
So kids work for other people.
They do.
Kids work
they
for do. You.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Did you just read that off. Someone else said that. So anyway.
I saw it on a bar napkin once.
But I was going to say, for 90% of you new teachers, maybe even a little bit more than that, it's going to get better. Okay. It seems really impossible now. It seems like, you know, you can't do it. It seems overwhelming. You know, for some of you, hopefully, I don't know what's easier, being a first year online. So I never did a first year online. But I mean, at least you do have the mute button, which I didn't have my first year.
Moving kids from your classroom is easier than ever.
Yes. Yeah. So there is that. But for people who struggle with that first year, and everybody does, because you don't know what you're doing, and college barely prepares you, if at all. It just prepares you to know, like, what the words are to say. It doesn't prepare you how to engage with 25 to 35 kids for however long you have to do it. But so for the 95% of you, it gets better. And then I will say, if it's not better by the third year, find something else to do. It sounds mean, it sounds cruel, but if you get 9-10 years in, you're going to be making more money than you can start at, and you might have a mortgage and a car payment, and you're going to be in big trouble. 3 years in, you can figure out something else to do, and you can go ahead and do that. And after 3 years, if it's horrible, it's going to be horrible for a long time, and you're going to be a bitter, sad person. If by 3 years you should be like, not never annoyed and not never have bad days, but by 3 years you should be like, you should have more good days than bad days, and go, ooh, that was so much fun. That was really cool. I can't wait tomorrow and see these kids again. Yeah. If you're thinking I can't make it in tomorrow, then, you know, figure out what else you should do.
How can people get in contact with you?
Go ahead to Disco.
There's a note in a mailbox that's at the corner.
Yes. Tedisco only operates by smoke signals and carrier pigeon, but no.
I got a smartphone like 3 years ago, and before nice. That, the only way to communicate to me was a brick through the window.
Nice. But I'm on Twitter, unprocast, so just like it sounds, unprocast. So, or if you just Google unprofessional development podcast, pretty good chance you find us. And then I think our Twitter handle is on all of our episodes, if you're listening to them, or most of them. Just listen to another episode to find it, I guess.
And if you don't find it, just keep listening.
Yes. There you go.
Download them again. Listen to them a second time.
Exactly. That's what you do. Maybe download it on a different device.